scenarios. Okay, you're upset. So you get in your car. And so you deal roughly with it. You know, the gears don't work exactly right. You don't start off nicely. You don't stop nicely. One is it's not good for the car. You know, you can ruin the room. You know, there is an environment. Number two, you're not aware, so therefore you do things wrong. You end up with tickets, or you bother other people. People start honking at you. People start yelling and screaming at you. Okay, so now it didn't work with the car, it didn't work with the car environment. Is there, why would it work with family or other relationships? You're upset, so you go home, say whatever you like, don't really be careful what you say in that. It's something that everybody else is supposed to understand. It doesn't work out on the street, and you don't expect it to work out on the street. Right? Later on, if you ask, oh, how come what happened to your clutch? This is, oh, I was angry the other day, so I wasn't dealing with the car properly. I must have messed it up. You'll say that straight. But if we say, you went home, you dealt in the same way with the family, you were rough, you were abrupt, you didn't use proper words, proper tone of voice, they get all bent out of shape, then it's their fault. Right? They don't understand. Why is it they can't support me? Why this? Why that? Why always me? Right? So, it's the way it works. Does that make sense? Another scenario. Okay, you want to do something, you know, something with the family, quality time with the family. Okay, so quality time with the family, then you say, okay, hey, why don't we do this? And then, you know, you think, because you're a man, and everything's just going to happen like clockwork and all that, efficiently getting done the operation that you've decided to get done. And the ladies are off, you know, either, you know, readying themselves, taking a bath, taking forever to get ready, this and that, doing this and so many different things, calling friends, this, that. You're thinking, this is not efficient. We could be doing the activity we're supposed to be doing as a family. Right? And then everybody gets upset, and now the wife doesn't want to do whatever it is that you wanted to do. And she says, you know, what's the problem? You're the one that's slowing everything down. And her saying, no, your attitude is wrong. I don't want to do these things with you. And it's kind of like, why are you being so trippy? What's the thing? We're just going to do this. Right? But the whole point is, as we mentioned before, for the woman, it's the preliminaries and conclusions of an activity, not necessarily the activity. The activity generates a certain pleasing, experience. But it's what it leads up to that, and what the conclusion, what is actually deepens the relationship. The man thinks just by efficiently getting something done, then that is, you know, perfection. Right? And then he's thinking they're crazy, and they're thinking, I don't want to deal with this person. Right? Does this make sense? These are realities. So this is the application of what we've been talking about before. This is the line that we were hoping maybe you might ask questions. You know what I'm saying? Because I can go on giving scenarios and you can keep nodding your head, but whether you'll ever apply it in your own life, then that's another question. You know what I'm saying? Because these things directly apply. Okay, another scenario. Everything's going perfect, you know, everybody's chirpy, everyone's happy, that rare moment, everything's all together like that. You're going along, and then, you know, in your happiness, then as the man that, you know, you say something that's kind of like a joke. You can say among other men, it might be a little bit gross, it might be a little bit insensitive, or the joke itself doesn't really include the feelings the wife is into. Bang, suddenly the mood goes, she's upset, she's annoyed, you don't know why, what happened, everything was just perfect, why does she have to be so trippy now? Right? So what happened? Because you clicked out of interacting with her and then just something to please yourself you did. So you moved from the Pajuna aspect of the masculine who's interacting with the femininity into the Sankarshan, which is just dealing with the field of activities. Because men generally joke about the field, women joke about the moods. Right? And then the man thinks, what went wrong? Right? Does that make sense? Right? And then it's all her fault. Why she's being trippy? Why this? Why that? Then, that's why we said before, is when something goes wrong. The rule is when a woman is upset, she is never chastised. You never get angry with an upset woman. It's just the bottom line rule. It's just not transgressed. Yeah. And then the man thinks it's his right. Why, she's the one being trippy. No, but you're the one that blew it. Okay? So that one may be a little more esoteric. Let's say something a little less esoteric. You go into the kitchen, wife's in there doing something, she deals with one of her machines, they're wrong, and therefore, you know, things are going crazy. She's upset, the husband comes in, he says, oh, that's because you're doing this wrong. Right? And then she gets all upset. You know, starts telling that he's wrong. And he's thinking, what do you mean? Logically speaking, she didn't deal with the blender right, she pushed the wrong button and did this and that, and that's why it's all screwed up. And he's being called wrong. And he's thinking, what's logically wrong with this? No, it's because the tone of voice he used, or in it, he's pointing at her fault. She's done something wrong, she feels bad, she wants support. Right? We get any closer now? Okay. I can do like this all day, but the problem is are you guys going to use your brains? You know, that's the question. So, in here then, the man is thinking, well, logically she's the one that's wrong, and that, but the point is because women are working on emotions, she's feeling bad and insecure because she did something she thought she could do, it didn't work, she feels insecure, she wants support. Right? So it goes into the environment of a woman who's upset. So therefore, she's not corrected. She's not chastised. So then you're pointing out her fault. How she, if she had just done this, then everything would have been fine, is not what she's looking for at this point. That you can explain later. And so then, she is correct in that you didn't understand the right attitude, you didn't understand, use the right mood, you didn't use the right words, they weren't supportive. Even if you wanted to tell her, then it had to be done in a supportive, considerate way of her mood. Then, having done that, then, then you understood. Otherwise, you don't understand. The guys think, what do you mean I don't understand? Take plug, push in wall, put in stuff, you know, put lid, push button. What don't I understand? Right? You know. But what he didn't understand is, yes, you push button, but not on the machine, in the wife's, you know, mentality. And therefore, she's upset. So what the man is wrong in all arguments where the man is thinking, logically I'm right, she's wrong, but she says I'm wrong, it means, yes, you are right in the logical sense, and she acknowledges that, but that's not the question, because that doesn't have any value or substance for the women. The problem is that you have made a mistake on dealing, and dealing, therefore, has created a bad feeling and therefore creates insecurity because then the relationship is not what she expects. So therefore, you're wrong. Yes?
So I think that it would be good if, although we have a mastermind program at home, I think it's
See, the thing behind it, I mean, that explanation we gave the other day was to show the principle of that, well, you have to show the principle, it's the principle that's important, because much of the time, because the detail is different between the parent and the child, you know, in the way of food, music, clothes, vocabulary, you know, friends, all these different things, that we might mistake that it's all the child's fault, because it's obviously different than what we do, rather than know the child is actually following the exact same principle that we're following, but they're following it, you know, according to their situation. Does that make sense? No. A bit, okay. Meaning that I gave the example of the parent is going not necessarily based on what's best for sadhana, but just what's best for their convenience. So they go to the temple once every Sunday in the evening for their 20 minutes and come and take their darshan and go. And for them, that's, you know, being fully kind of religious, Krishna conscious. So the child is actually doing the same thing at their convenience, not necessarily what's best for sadhana. Then they choose that they will go at the big festivals, because that's when things are happening more. And there's big prashad, all the other, you know, kids will come, and it's more exciting for them. So, in other words, that excites them as a festival, and for the parents, because they have had more of a background in sadhana and all that, then therefore, you know, going even in an off time, you know, they feel, you know, that connection with the deity and all that. So the problem's not so much that you've chosen that is there. It might have had an underlying comment on it that sometimes the parents could be involved more than they are. But the main point is that they're following the same principle, but the detail is different, because the detail that you follow is not somehow or another than either explained or understood by the child. Does that make sense? So if the child understands why it's like that, then they themselves might find, yes, this is a good choice. This is a good, you know, this is practical, this is well thought out. And so therefore they'll be comfortable with the same lifestyle, same value system as the parents. So that's why we're saying is that the time spent by the mother or the child, especially once they're sentient, that they explain things. Like let us say in high-grade Brahmin families in India, they're dealing with the daughter. Teaching her about chastity starts at 2 years old. Chastity means, when the Westerners think of chastity, it simply means which bed you're in, right? But the Vedic concept of chastity is qualified, well-behaved, well-trained, you know, and that includes then discrimination between beds. Does that make sense? So therefore, when the little girl does something that's uncultured, then the mother will say, chaste girls don't do this. Right? So they get the understanding that chaste means right, unchaste means wrong. And to deal with culture, it's to deal with behavior, it's to deal with attitude, it's to deal with the proper qualities that you have, service attitude, it includes the whole lifestyle, value system. Then when they hit puberty, then that last little bit then gets added in automatically. But you're adding in, you know, in the field of activities of what a chaste woman does, you know, it's not that she spends 90% of the time, you know, in bed with someone. Right? So that's not the point. It's 99% not doing that. So that's where the biggest amount of chastity actually is. How she walks, how she talks, how she interacts, how she sits, how she gets up, how she serves, how she... Does that make sense? So that has been already explained by the mother, so that when they get to that age, then it adds in that awareness also. But it follows the same quantity of religiousness. I can't be unchaste because it's not right. You know, they've been so founded in the religious principle of right and wrong that they just can't do it. Does that make sense? So this is the meaning of the training. It doesn't happen automatically. Automatically you have an animal. You know, you can take care of an easy sleeping like this. That will work. But human means training. So that's why the Krishna conscious parents, the mother in the beginning is the main one who's training, because she's always with the child, always, she's very sensitive, she picks up everything. Men can't hand a baby to the man, it cries, she can't tell if it's hungry, if it's tired, if it's, you know, wet itself, you know, if a bug is biting, and they can't tell, but mothers can tell, you know, so it's just the way it is. So once they come to the point where they start, and they acknowledge the father, they start asking questions to the father can give that input, then that starts for him. But the mother's been already doing that years before he's, you know, is directly involved in that kind of interaction. So that's what we're meaning. The parents should not underestimate the importance or the impression that giving that time and energy to the child, the effect that it has. If the child feels cared for, feels complete, then why does it have to go somewhere else? Why does it have to go out on the street to look for, you know, value in life? Right? That's the point. If they're looking on the street, there's something wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's just something wrong. If it said, well, they go to the school, they this and that, then why are they going to that school? You know what I'm saying? If that's what they have to do just to go to school, you know, school is supposed to be an improvement in one's life, not a degradation. So then why is the child even going to that school? Why are they put in another school where they can actually just study? You know, they don't have to go through all these trips. Does that make sense? Like that. So in any case, it's not important that the child has that experience. Right? There's plenty of kids that didn't have to go through a rough, time in school, you know, doing all kinds of crazy things, and they grew up fine. You know, it does happen. Is that okay?
Sometimes it's said in the Shastras that the there's to be ladies are men who are attached to women are worse than. So I've heard devotees preach that in the Kali Yuga the men are less intelligent than men because they're controlled by the women.
Mm-hmm.
So to what extent is that true?
It's wherever it applies. If someone's a man, then, well, I mean, they can't be attached. The point is that's why the Vedic principle is there is austerity. Why are you doing your duties towards the woman? Why are you doing all these things? Because that's the austerity, that's your duty. Right? So, that being said, then, if that can still be done, we talk about Naishkarma, that you perform your duties, not expecting a result, right? So that's the point of Amaniya Manavidana, is that we're respecting the other person, we're performing our duties towards them, but we're not expecting something in return, right? So that's the Naishkarma, that's your sacrifice, where you're doing it for a higher purpose. Someone who acts on that thought form can actually do it better. Because then they're thinking. If it's simply attachment, then you're blinded by the result you want, so the thinking process is not complete. But if it's not, then you can deal with it very, very clear-headed, very, very nicely. And so then that carries with it then depth that will be found in the attachment. So basically, the best families is because it's being done on that platform of Naishkarma. They're perfectly performing their duties. Because the difficulty comes in the Western mind that these are not actually options. They don't exist as options because duty, first of all, means something I don't want to do. Two is why would I, and so if I'm going to do it, it has to be something that I like doing. I do it because I want to do it. And I want to do it because I get a result. they just don't sink in as options, so therefore it's not necessarily even attempted. You know, also the idea is, how can something that I'm operating with my intelligence, how can it give an emotional response or experience? Because the whole idea is ignorance is bliss, and therefore just what happens that I get the best out of, because it was spontaneous. But the point is, spontaneity comes after practice. That's why in the Vedic system, then the emphasis is put on sadhana, on vaidhi. And when vaidhi is practiced to the point of habit, then the natural next step is spontaneity. Spontaneity doesn't mean in what you're doing. Spontaneity means in your mood. Because from mood, then comes activity. So because of the external view of the materialistic mind, especially the Western mind, then we see that they think spontaneity means it's what you do, so you have to be crazy. Then it's like, you know, okay, that's spontaneous, that's special, right? But the point is, no, if the mood is spontaneous, then whether you do something crazy or not, it's inspiring, it's attractive. Does that make sense? So therefore the principle that I deal with something properly, with over time, that practice, I become expert at it, then many things happen. One is you become attached to anything, you know, for men, that works nicely. Right? I buy a pen, if the pen does a great job, you know, looks nice, doesn't look nice, is a prestigious brand or not, I'm attached to it because it does the work. Someone can offer me a fancier pen, no, because it won't do what this pen does, right, because it's efficiently gets it. So that's the whole point of the sadhana, is you bring it to the point of actual efficiency. Then the spontaneity can start, because once you can naturally just do the right thing, then the mood can lighten, because you don't have to focus as much on the activity. You can be more spontaneous in the mood. So the activity may still appear to be very just regulated and, you know, according to the textbook. Because it's the mood that generates. You're happy, others seeing that, they become happy in their response to you. You're among when they see you, then they're, you know, very sober in their response. So it's not what you're doing, it's your mood that's more important. Right? But because people don't understand this, then they try to make it, you know, be crazy for the young kids, you know, they all try to do something, you know, stupid for the girls, and, you know, that spontaneity. So it has something that the attempt is there, it's nice. It generates some energy. Energy was applied, so that's attractive. But it's not the it's not sustainable spontaneity, because where's the habit? So that's not there, you know. It's like, what do you call it? The guy was in New York. He was there when it happened. He was walking down the street, and there was this girl behind him, and there was, you know, one or two girls, and then ahead of him, like 30 feet, you know, ahead was some guys, and then one of the guys, you know, they're walking and talking and animating, you know, themselves. That, you know, he notices that behind this devotee there's this girl. You know, maybe he knew her, maybe he didn't. Suddenly he just starts doing these backflips from where he is all the way back to his girl, that's, you know, backflipping and bang, lands right next to her. You know, and then, you know, says his opening line, you know. So it was a date. You know, so, you know, like that. But how often can you do that, you know? You know, saying, you know, when you're in your living room and, you know, your wife's in the kitchen, it might be a little dangerous to try such things. You know, you got ironing boards and, you know, all kinds of things that might be a problem. You know what I'm saying? So that spontaneity comes from the habit of being able to properly perform just the little duties around the house, little duties of interaction. Like that. But because they're being done because they're duty, then there's detachment. Right? You know, one can say there's still you're attached, but then what's the problem? If the results for Krishna, renunciation is considered good. Right? Renunciation means it's my work, it's my result, and I'm not giving it to Krishna. Sannyas means it's how do you say, it's not my work, but this is the work I can do for Krishna. And the result, therefore, is for Krishna. That's sannyas. So that's the more ideal platform. So devotees will talk sannyas, and they'll label renunciation as attached. So it's not a fine understanding of the philosophy, right? In other words, it's, you know, anything to do with how attached. But then you have to say the pun that you're attached. The battle of Kurukshetra, that was like your attachment, right? It was for a kingdom. You know? But the point is if Yudhishthira is an emperor, that's what service he can do for Krishna, and that's what he should be doing. He was the emperor, Duryodhana by tricks took it away, and now it's time to perform that service again. Right? He already performed service to Krishna in the forest, now it's time to perform it again on the throne. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, it's a matter of distinguishing is that it's the quality of what we're doing. But it can't just be lip service. Either way, either say, no, I'm doing it all for Krishna, and you can't explain it. Or the other, oh, just surrender, you're not attached to it, but they can't explain it either. So the problem is both sides are dealing, it's emotion against emotion. So because, you know, the so-called renounce side or more fully engaged side is just using sentiment and to try to manage their service. Not necessarily engage others, but manage their service. Therefore, then the others have responded by finding emotional, you know, little one-liners to establish their position to keep themselves away from that. But neither of them actually can explain what they're doing by the philosophy, other than very general, but they couldn't tell the mechanics that would say that how do you know that the philosophy you're espousing is actually connecting to the situation. Which what you're talking about is great. Surrender to Krishna, you can't beat that. You know, but that we should always be engaged, we shouldn't be attached. These are all perfect philosophical points. But how do you know it connects to what you're doing? You know, how do you know? You have to be able to explain it. That's why the Bhagavatam and the Gita get so much into the metaphysics, so that you can. Six chapters of Gita are about the metaphysics of how the philosophy connects to the physical situation that you're in. Right? After explaining the glories of devotional service, the position of devotional service, the application of the Lord to the ultimate, you know, way of serving the Lord in devotion, then there is the metaphysics that you know how it connects. You know, for those who like to talk philosophy, for those who just do, not don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Bhagavatam does the same thing. Second canto, third canto, fifth canto, they're all talking this. 11th canto just takes what Gita does and gets even more technical. So there's plenty of scope for that. So it's not that whole problem you get, it probably gets right. But it's just because it's an unknown element, then people don't think about it. Because the new age is degenerated emotion. The philosophy is simply speculation. It's not practically applied. Right? So since we work on devotion and we know that the jnana and the mayavadis and the impersonalists and the, you know, knowledge is not as good, therefore will tend more towards the new age stuff, so therefore then, you know, it feels good to do it. So then, you know, it's nice, I like it, it's good, you know, but you can't say that, but that's attached, so therefore you have to put a little philosophical spin on it to make it sound that I'm not attached, right, to the other side. So that's the common point, is nobody understands how to deal with attachment. So that's the difficulty. It means those inside don't know how to deal with it, therefore they're unable to inspire the grihasas. The grihasas themselves don't know how to deal with it, but it's a reality in their life. They have to work in the field, but they don't know how to connect to philosophy. materially because that's material. At the same time, they don't know how to connect the spiritual to it, so they can't really spiritualize it. And so then it becomes a dilemma for them. And then the temple, they can't help at all, you know, like that. You know. And so therefore they just, you know, espouse, you know, unless you do what we're doing, then you're just a Maya and attached like that. You don't tell that the woman they're in charge, but when they're off somewhere else, then, you know, it doesn't matter. So it's not that there's a consistency in the philosophy in your own life and helping others in their life, and so therefore, whether you're in the temple, you're out of the temple, or whatever service you're doing, there's a consistent view and a consistent standard of devotional consciousness, whether it's more complexly involved with material energy or less, you know, but it's not, it's, therefore you have all these different groups. You know, they're doing whatever they're doing, and then, you know, because it's all Krishna, it works, that's the beauty of it, you know, but if it was understood, you could make a much greater, determined, concerted, you know, one-pointed effort, then people could feel more part of something, you know what I'm saying? We just had an example of how people want to feel part of something. People who are willing to fly from all over the world to have a few days where other people are doing basically what they're doing are all together, and it's their scene, you know, it's their day, you know, and nobody can bother them, you know. So that's how much, I think, what happened to these people, right? So they're willing to fly in from all over the world, spend, you know, thousands of dollars just to experience that for a couple of days. You know what I'm saying? So we have it right here. It's our philosophy. It's our culture. We can make the whole world feel like that. They can only do it for their own group. But, you know, when you deal with God and the living entities, that's pretty all-encompassing. You know, it's pretty, cuts across basically all lines. Did we ask the question? We got so much in the tangents that I need.
The question was if men are attached to women then.
Okay, no, so we didn't also. Yeah, the point is they're attached, but the point is that attachment should be dynamic. It should be progressive. Just to be attached and not be progressive, what's the use? Because the point is what do you get anyway? You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you want the experience, let's say, you touch something smooth, right? How long do you get the experience of that smoothness?
2 seconds.
What if you keep your finger there for an hour? Right, you get the smoothness. The point is that it's as you appreciate it for only a few seconds, but you'll be experiencing it for as long as you touch it. As soon as you remove your finger, you're not experiencing the texture of the cloth. You know, does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. In other words, the material energy, as long as your sense is in touch with the sense object, you get the experience. As soon as it's disconnected, it stops. That's the point. So the difficulty is one's attached to something, but how much can one be in contact with it? How much is one able to get the experience one wants? It's very minimal. So therefore, if your interaction with it, one is you'll never be satisfied, so unless you can make an attempt to interact with it unlimitedly or eternally, you're not going to be satisfied because the soul is eternal. And that's a waste of time because you're not getting much out of it anyway. You know? Like that. So, So the principle is that deal with it in such a way that you can get whatever is the maximum materially from it that you are looking for, and that's what's distracting you away from Krishna. But don't do it in a way that that's all there is. Do it in a way that it's connected to Krishna. Then recognize Krishna in it. Right? Either the experience is Krishna, the rules concerning it are Krishna, the results are Krishna's. You know what I'm saying? So in some way he's connected. So that means then by the principle of renunciation or sannyas, you start to become detached from it. So depending upon how deep is that attachment, it'll take that long to get rid of it. But in any case, the devotional process is way more powerful than anything material, because it's light. Material light is darkness. So even one candle in a room this big will, you can see. It can dissipate this much darkness. So that's the whole point. Devotional service is unlimitedly more powerful than the material experience. But we're so conditioned and habituated that even though technically we don't need to remain attached by habit, we do. So it's just a matter of time before we ourselves are convinced that, you know, it's the spiritual that gives the real taste and substance, and the material doesn't, but the material is the form as austerity and sacrifice for Krishna. Otherwise, no, as soon as you detach yourself, leave him, and then what about Bhakti Milton for, right? You know, he was never attached in the first place, you know, and he ran a very proper Grihastha ashram at the appropriate time, then he was sannyas. You know, so it's a matter of duty. The pandavas themselves are also, you know, performing everything properly. And so, does that make sense? So, the point is that you can't get what you were looking for from the material energy. That's Maya. I'm going to get this from that. No, it doesn't exist. You project that onto there, therefore if you happen to get something you want, then you get that experience of happiness, only because you set it as the standard of happiness. But the experience is the same. You can interpret it any way you like. Right? It's the same hormones. So it's not unlimited hormones in your body. Right? The same adrenaline is in your stomach. You know, when there's a fight and you're enthusiastic, you know, there's a fight and you're laughing, yes, you know, or there's a fight and you're afraid of running away, or you're going on stage, you have to say your lines, and we call it butterflies, you know, it's the same thing, you know, or boy sees girl, it's the same stuff, it's just how you interpret it, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, because it's simply interpretation.
There.
provide them because that is the commonality. And the man thinks, because I provided the field, I've done my job. But the point is no, that field is options to do something with. Right? You know, so that's where the laziness comes in. Right? That's always a weakness in the man, is that laziness. The women always perceive a laziness. But what they're talking about is not necessarily getting something done. It's more of the option, the operating the field. So sometimes if the field needs some work, then the same laziness applies. But it's more to operating the field than to creating or maintaining the field. Like that. You know, if someone doesn't create the field, of course, then it's obvious everyone will say he's lazy. Right? Does that make sense? So for the children, then it's options for happiness. Because it's seen in the field. If the emotional platform is happening more without, you know, additional elements added to the field, then on the child's part, there's not so much importance for it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So you have to be very, very careful in that. Means the mother's position as a woman isn't imbibing that in the child. The child will naturally have it because the child is in the feminine position, you know, compared to the parent. The parents are in the masculine position, the children are in the feminine position. So therefore, facilities means opportunity for interaction, for experience. But the point is if there, you know, the training is more in how well it's used than is well used, then children themselves, they don't put as much, they'll use things, but then they don't need the great range of things, you know. In other words, a few things that, it's like this, means in any case, you're only going to deal with one thing for a short amount of time, you know, because they haven't either, means if they're feminine, they'll have it will remain. If they're a boy, then it's a matter of growing up, then they'll stop doing that, generally. Then they'll, you know, fiddle with one thing all the time and drive their wife nuts. But, you know what I'm saying? But they won't need the variety, you know, like that. But in any case, the child is going to deal with that. You can have a few things that you move through. You know, now you play with them. Little monkey things, you know, and then after that you play with the other things for, you know, a couple of weeks, and after that you can play with the poo doll for a while, you know, like this. So it moves around. So the variety is there, but it's within a very limited thing. Or if there's a natural environment, which, you know, nowadays would be practically impossible to necessarily generate, then, you know, from out in the backyard they can create so many things. You know, they got trees, they got grass, they got rocks, they got leaves, they, you know, it's, you know, they can do a lot. But if they don't have that, it's only cement, then it's a little harder to work with. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So in other words, the mother has to be very, very careful that the child is not picking up on the mother's need to increase the field because that increases opportunity. You know what I'm saying? That relationship is between her and the husband, right? But you should be very careful that it's not so much there in the child, unless it's a daughter, then that's naturally going to be because they're observant of that. But if it's a boy, don't try to generate that because boys don't need it. You know, in other words, the child comes in and doesn't have any idea like that. It's what we give them. So the women will think the more things, the better. So then they start to use that to please the child because that's what they expect the husband to do for them. You know, it's not that the thing actually has any meaning. It's the attempt to arrange it, the attempt, I mean, how it was given, what was the mood towards it. When the woman wants to interact with it, the husband responds properly. These all make the external observable item valuable. And if something anywhere in that was wrong, unless something else was so much more powerful to overpower, right? You know, his deliverance of the thing was so stupid and corny, but he was so sincere, it was cute, then that remains. You know what I'm saying? But if something else was that, you know, there was a big argument over it one time,
done with the technical intelligence of my equipment inside the wall of the school or whatever. We're doing that now. But then they interact with children at large who have a language, okay? The language comes from movies, blah, 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 blah. I've seen it happen when children have been isolated from that, and then they put themselves out into the world, and they feel this need to dive into all of that kind of comedy activity.
No, you do have that, but you also have those who have been isolated from it. When they go out into it, they think this is really stupid, and I'm not getting involved.
Yeah.
But that generally is, that is generally only generated, according to statistics, by very religious families who have very religious practices, very tight families, Asian families, third world families. It is not a phenomenon in the first world, because the relationships just don't have the tightness and depth. So therefore then, the Western devotees, the first world devotees, always make this point that that's the way it is. It's an absolute truth. But the funny thing is there are much more people who are not having that effect, because the one is, you know what I'm saying? There's much less that are having that effect. And so, but because, you know, of the principle, you know, how you say your Anglo-Saxon supremacy, they can't notice that probably the Anglo-Saxons don't even get up to a billion people. I don't know if they even make a billion. You know what I'm saying? And even throw in the other whites, I'm not sure if they would cross a billion. Maybe they would, but not by much. So that means 4.5 to 5 billion people or something else that have different, completely different experience. But that doesn't count because, you know what I'm saying? So therefore, the Western devotees stay with such impunity these facts, you know what I'm saying? And so therefore, because it's based on the principles that, well, I grew up in that and I turned out all right, I became a devotee, but what they don't understand is you became a devotee, but you have no culture and you're suffering deeply from it. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just good enough. It's like, I grew up in the swamps, I became rich, so my son is born rich. Somehow the other devotee says, no, I started in the gutter, I grew up, and now it's okay for my kid to grow up in the gutter. Very different from old world thinking. You know, old world is, I started in the gutter, my children and grandchildren will not go through this. Like that. Somehow the devotees are happy to toss their kids right in. Like that. And but at the same time, it's always said that there's nothing I can do about it. But the point is you can ask them why. Just as they question you about your values, you can question them. But why is this so important? What do you get from it? Are these really friends? How deep is it? What do you get out of it? You know, in other words, they're not thinking. So you point it out, you train them how to think so that they can move in that world and survive. You know what I'm saying? There are Asians who have great degrees and everything. And at 25, they join the temple. And these are girls. They've never touched a boy. Right? And they have their BAs and their other degrees and all that. They tend to think they're out there on the street. They've never been touched by a boy. You know what I'm saying? So it is possible, but the point is what you accept, and that's what is there. There always has to be the plan, there always has to be the desire. That makes it progressive. Then when you look at it, it's a matter of, you know what's coming up, train them to view it. What are you looking at? You know, you're going to go out, you're going to have friends. What kind of friends do you want to have? You want to have something shallow or something that cares about other side, the other's still lonely because they're looking for satisfaction. You know what I'm saying? It can be done. You know, but according to modern standards, you would be called crazy. But the point is this: crazy, you're your own man. You know, so it's just a matter of explanation. What do you want to be? If they've always been trained to be their own person, if their parents are their own person, you know, then the kids will grow up. The parents have to fit in and have to do this and do that, and the kids are going to be exactly the same. There's not a lot you can do about it. Unless you can see what is wrong with yourself, be working on that in yourself, and because you can work on it in yourself, then you will be able to work on it in your child. But if you don't see it in yourself, don't work on it in yourself. If you have that, then what can you do? You know what I'm saying? The point is the one that's confident sets the trend. Fashions are stupid. Right? Because do you see any of the street fashions, the modern fashions, at the, let's say, what do you call it, the Academy Awards? No. They go back to traditional things of aesthetics that always work. They work for hundreds of years. They work today, they work tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? They don't use those things. So, the point is that fashion means you wear something that's crazy and you're comfortable with it. You know what I'm saying? That's why the model is paid money. Because you put anything on it, the stupidest outfit, and they wear with confidence. And then everybody goes, ooh, I want to be confident. You know, I should be wearing that. Because you think it's clothes, right? Clothes make a man. So that's the whole idea. But the point is if you're comfortable with whatever you're wearing, then it's not comfortable. Why the dweeb? The dweeb, because they're not comfortable. They like wearing it, but they're not socially comfortable. So if what you like to wear, you're socially comfortable with it, then it's like, you know, what's your problem? You know what I'm saying? I mean, before I became a devotee, then very long hair was very popular. Like that. And then all the guys driving the garbage trucks and, you know, those kind of utility vehicles and all that, they had all the butches, you know, and flat tops. And so then, girl, yeah, you like this and all that, they're going along, right? Then, you know, went to India, came back after, I think, 7 years, like that. Then I'm walking down the same street, in the same city, there I am with my butch, right? And there's all the guys on the trucks and, you know, the garbage trucks and all the utility trucks, all with their long hair. And then they're all going, like this and that, and it's just, you know what I'm saying? So it's not what you're doing, it's the attitude of what you're doing. That's the whole point, you know? I mean, Covey is very popular with a clean-shaved head. Yeah, Yul Brynner was famous in the 50s and 60s for a waxed head. Right? And then we're embarrassed. Buddhists have shaved heads. So many days, it's just in today to have shaved heads. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can even have little rat tails, you know? And it's cool. It's nobody minds. But if you do it with confidence, it's cool. You set a fashion. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that it's a matter of mentality. So if you could imbibe the right mentality in the kid survives. Because it is the slaughterhouse. You don't imbibe, then they'll get washed away like everybody else, you know. And it's just a matter of surviving. But the point is why they do that, why they do what they do. You might check, it's also just to survive. So the point is we're trying to, you know, so either create an environment in which there'll be less problems like that, you know, like this, choosing your school or choosing this, that, you can reduce it, you know, or create, you know, the proper attitude in which, you know, then you're not bothered by this. You know, you're comfortable with yourself, you know, or the combination, you know, that makes it even easier.
With Parvati, when she got insulted by a dacha, you know, she was mad to, you know, Lord Shiva. She couldn't have wept for anything more in her life, but still she got up because she was insulted. So what do you say to a woman that's been insulted?
I'm sorry.
What about if you're giving advice to a woman that's been insulted by somebody else? Who's not going to say so?
Advice is what's being looked for. When a woman is insulted, she wants support. She's right, the other person's wrong. Not advice. You know what I'm saying? Because when she's insulted, then that makes her insecure. So what she will need is security, not advice. Because advice is on the field of activity. She knows what the field is. She wants support in that field. Does that make sense? After everything's calmed down, there may be a moment where you can give advice, but generally, they already know what they should be doing. They already know it's stupid. They already know the other woman isn't worth getting that upset about. You know what I'm saying? So, advice is what they're looking for. Right? They're looking for support. That. You give the support, then you have an opportunity for advice. If you don't give the support, then your advice doesn't have any meaning because it has to come along with that it's favorable to them. So if you're not giving them the emotional support, making them secure, why would they think your advice would be useful to them?
Where they don't look, then it's a bad day.
you know, then she's got to put on something more skinny than she should have. You know, so it's very cheap. But this other way is that it's bought out, so it's not cheap. It's dignified. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The naturalism will come from the house. Then there'll be friends, but it's not coming from the house. Then you have to expand it. It's still done in a very, you know, practical, if you know, intelligent, dignified way.
All right.